Well, a recent blog from our website, Life, Hope, and Truth, asked the question, propitiation, what does it mean? Well, not only is propitiation not a commonly used word today, as you can tell, it's also a bit of a tongue twister. But it is an important word, and it is used four times in the New King James Version of the Bible in connection with Christ's sacrifice for our sins. We begin these days of unleavened bread with a new appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's a rededication of putting sin out of our lives, a rededication of living God's way. And as we heard two nights ago on Passover, the story doesn't end just with Christ's sacrifice, but rather it's the beginning of our journey. It's an annual journey where we rehearse God's plan of salvation. It's a lifetime journey of overcoming, growing in God's grace and knowledge. This afternoon, we're going to review the meaning of propitiation and its importance for us during these days of unleavened bread. Well, we're all familiar with Romans 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We understand that the penalty for sin is death. But is the death penalty fair? I mean, what if we only committed one sin in our life? Is God's zero tolerance of sin fair? Sounds like something our politicians would tell us today, doesn't it? Well, God is more than fair. He is abundantly fair. And perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So through God's love, he has made a path of redemption and a path to life. And Jesus' sacrifice is the means by which we can be forgiven. Yet one dictionary definition for propitiation implies it's just an appeasement to satisfy a wrathful God. Well, let's turn where we find propitiation used the first time in the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. We did read this during the Passover services, but it's always good to read it again. Beginning in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." What is propitiation? Well, we've often heard that propitiation is a substitute that takes the place for us, a substitute that takes a place for the death penalty, that Jesus Christ paid this penalty on our behalf. And because of Jesus' forbearance, his abstention from sin, from his patience that he had to endure and have self-control, God has passed over the sins that we have committed. But it's really much more than that, as we'll see. Propitiation is the atoning sacrifice, the making amends, we might say, that expresses God's grace and his unmerited pardon. Propitiation also conveys God's mercy. The same Greek word used in these verses for propitiation is also used for mercy seat in Hebrews 9, verse 5. The mercy seat covered the Ark of the Covenant, and it represented God's throne. It represented the source of mercy, and it represented the place where God's people went to receive atonement. As we can read in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Let's turn now to the second place we find propitiation. This is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Hebrews 2, chapter 17. And we will begin reading in verse 16. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus' experience as a man prepared him to be our high priest, and for his sacrifice to be the propitiation of our sins. Here the Greek word, which is Greek word 2433, I can't pronounce it, but it's translated as reconciliation in the old King James Version. And this same Greek word is also used in the appeal of the public tax collector in Luke 18, verse 13, where he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we're beginning to see that the word propitiation encompasses many words that describes God's mercy and grace. Now let's turn to the third place. It's in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and again we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Here the Greek word is very similar, Greek word 2434, and again, it means Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice. But he's also an advocate for us. And what is an advocate? An advocate is someone who speaks up for us, stands up for us, someone who defends us. But it isn't a license for us to continue in our sins or come as you are, as today's modern Christianity would have us believe. It isn't Christ did everything for us. There's something that we have to do. So let's continue reading in verse 3. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 4, and this is the fourth place we find the word propitiation. 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 10. We'll begin in verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The atoning sacrifice was not made because we loved God, but rather, God first loved us, and he sent Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus expressed this same love in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, which I think we're all familiar with, something that the Church of God at large sometimes misses the mark on. And that says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, sometimes we may overlook the magnitude of what Jesus Christ and God our Father does for us, has done for us, continues to do for us on a daily basis. But when we reflect on it and think about it, it is simply amazing. We are God's children, and he is creating his character in us. The word propitiation expresses this profound love and grace of God our Father and Jesus Christ. Love that provides an atoning sacrifice, an unmerited pardon, a reconciliation, and mercy that allows our sins to be forgiven. Love that allows us to be born into God's very family. Love that began two nights ago at the Passover but continues today. These days of unleavened bread show us the next step. Put the sin out. God has zero tolerance for sin in his kingdom. We must learn to hate sin as much as God hates sin, that it is never okay, it is never acceptable. And God shows us that we can accomplish this by eating unleavened bread, which is Jesus Christ. And if we fall short, if we miss the mark, which we often do, we have an advocate for forgiveness and encouragement to continue our journey. So never give up, never surrender. Finally, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.